Humankind is produced in association with WGBH Boston and supported by the Humankind Program Fund. Additional funding for this series has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Institutes of Health, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and the Park Foundation.
I'm a good person. I just made bad choices. And I think there's a lot of good women out there that are good-hearted people that made bad choices, and this program can help them make good choices.
A new form of mentoring called shared family care helps parents with a troubled past to break the vicious cycle. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. It started in Scandinavia as an experimental method for helping families in crisis. Now being tried in the United States, shared family care is a system in which a whole family is placed in the home of a mentor for what amounts to a round-the-clock course in parenting. Often it's a single mom and her child or children who stay an average of 6 months with a mentor who's been screened by child welfare authorities. In San Jose, California, Tina Cruz, a mother of three, felt that shared family care gave her a second chance.
You know what's really important to me now is having a place of my own and having my kids sit at the table every day, the same table, instead of being homeless and sitting in corners, sitting with cardboard boxes in front of them, eating food, McDonald's foods, or sleeping in a corner of a house, you know, in a corner of a room, on a mattress, on a blanket, in a floor, in different people's houses, different people's drug houses. And now they sleep in the same bed every night, eat from the same table, they walk out the same door, they come in the same door, and that is so important for them to have that foundation that they never had.
Tina wasn't always so optimistic. As a child, she ran away from an abusive home, lived a dangerous street life, and became heavily addicted to amphetamines for 17 years. She was a single mother, and her three daughters were eventually placed in California's child welfare system after the youngest, an infant, tested positive for drugs. Under court order, Tina did enter substance abuse treatment, and upon release in 2002, at age 38, she stepped out into a new life.
Usually when girls go in a program, and they're doing fine in the program, but they don't have nowhere to go when they get out, they usually go back to using drugs or go back to a home that has drugs around it, you know. And I was really scared. I didn't know what to do because I had just got my baby back. I wanted her back in court. And I didn't know what I was going to do. All I knew is that I wanted to stay clean.
What were you scared of?
I was scared that I was going to fail. I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to make it if I didn't have positive surrounding, you know? And then I heard about this program.
For families at risk, shared care offers a safe, nurturing environment under the watchful eye of a qualified mentor. Children who complete the program are only half as likely to re-enter the child welfare system as kids who've been through traditional foster care. A pioneer in shared care is Families First, one of California's largest providers of child services. Steve Schmidbauer manages their community-based programs in Costa County outside San Francisco.
What happens with some people, you heard Tina talk about good people who've made bad choices, and I think when there's been a series of bad choices and maybe some unfortunate experiences, it builds up, and a person's confidence, a person's feeling like they can really make it, really is compromised. Then they get into the system where there's perhaps police involvement, there's courts, there's social workers. It's all a foreign, there's lawyers. It's a very foreign environment for them. So I think what they need most of all is success. And once they're in the mentor home, in the functioning family, they can begin to build on small successes with their own children. The mentor can kind of guide them. After everybody leaves, all the professionals leave, the mentor can kind of explain what's happened, what's expected of them.
Hey,
When they come in and they take your children, they separate you and put the children somewhere else, I always thought they should try to keep the kids with the mom together because, you know, they devastate the children too, you know. When my daughter was taken from me, Shaden, she lost 20 pounds the first month that she was taken. That devastated her. And so with this program, it keeps you and your child together, and you stay in a house and in a good house, in a good positive house, and it was great.
And why did you think a shared family care house would particularly be safe for you?
Because all I ever knew was just people who used drugs or people who, you know, did illegal things, you know. I didn't really know people that were, you know, besides my sister that, you know, had a job, you know, did legal things, you know, went shopping instead of stealing, you know, drove a car that, you know, was registered and not stolen, stuff, you know. I thought that this would really be great and I could learn a lot from the person that I was living with, you know, and I did. I learned a lot from Barbara.
I'd never heard of shared family care. Stumbled upon it in an advertisement. Didn't know what I was really, what it meant.
Barbara Funderburk in Antioch, California, is the same age as Tina, 39, also single, and the mother of two daughters. She's a manager at a veterinary hospital, and her beige three-bedroom house is filled with the animated traffic of children and puppies.
I was kind of interested in fostering children, but I didn't know if I could take on that additional responsibility being a single parent myself. And that's why shared family care made more sense to me, because I could do that with the assistance of a mother. So it made more sense for me.
Barbara Funderburk had provided shared care to two previous families, with a social worker checking in regularly. Barbara receives $1,200 a month, typically for half a year, for lodging and utilities, and to serve as a guide and role model for the mother being trained in parenting. In 2002, Tina Cruz moved in with her one-year-old.
You know what was weird for me? I met her, and then when I moved in, she's like, okay, well, get familiar with the house. Go ahead, open the cabinets in the kitchen and go ahead and, you know. And that was weird to somebody let a crankster come in their house and just go ahead and get familiar with their house. And they're going to work, you know. And I'm in the house all by myself, a really beautiful house. It was like, wow.
So was that hard for you, to be trusted? Was that hard?
It was hard to believe that people actually do that, you know. That people actually do that because in the drug world, you know, nobody trusts nobody. You just don't, you know. And that was kind of weird. That made me feel good, you know. She always left her bedroom door open, always left, you know, the doors open to the rooms, and she never locked anything, which made me feel good.
I was absolutely willing to open my door to a mother and a child. I was already renting the room to complete strangers, so this was definitely what I was looking for, helping someone, a mother and a child.
Now, Tina, a moment ago, described the day when you said to her, here's the cabinets, you know, this is where everything is, sort of help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Were you afraid when you brought a stranger into the home and somebody who had had a history of problems?
I wasn't afraid at all. I've always been very trusting of people until they show me otherwise, I've never placed judgment on maybe someone who has used drugs in the past. I felt very safe with Tina, and as I did with my other mentees, I never felt like I could not leave for work and trust that my home would be here when I got back. I always knew it would be, it was just a trust that I have.
Tina arrived at Barbara's home not just with a beautiful baby girl she was now determined to do right by. She also brought with her some of the baggage that lands one in drug rehab.
Tina's newly clean and sober life would be put to a real-world test.
Was it awkward for you at first? I mean, here you were walking into a place. Did you feel insecure? Did you feel that you wouldn't measure up?
It was awkward at first, but when I first met Barbara, she made it so much easier. I mean, when I liked her the minute I saw her. And then I asked her if we could pray and we could bless the house because I wanted it to have a good start. So we prayed and we asked the Lord to bless the house and bless all of us in it. And, you know, for this to work out, and it worked out great.
The intersection of Tina and Barbara is a fascinating study of two people from sharply different backgrounds who came together for a powerful purpose. They sought to break the tenacious cycle of abuse and dysfunction that can enslave families for generations. Although in the role of mentor, Barbara felt she too was growing.
I have no history of substance abuse at all, so it's a learning for me also on, you know, what these women are going through. They're learning what my life's like and how I raise children, and I'm learning more and more about what their day's like and what they're going through.
And what were some of the main things that you learned in that process?
Their upbringing is so very different than mine. A lot of them didn't have parents that were present or had parents that used, were abusive. Their education's different. In some cases, their everything, their eating habits. I had an assumption that all children were raised the same, and I was learning quickly that that's not the case, and that many of those reasons led to their substance abuse.
Did you grow up in a two-parent sober household?
Correct. About 30 minutes east of here. It's kind of an upper-class area. We lived out in the country, and we were, I mean, I guess in today's standards, we were had money. We were spoiled.
I have 10 sisters and 6 brothers.
10 sisters and 6 brothers.
Yes, and we were raised in a small town, Soledad, and the way Barbara was raised compared to the way I was raised, I ran away from home when I was 11 because me and my 10 sisters were all molested. And so there's so much more that a mother, a woman, can get from this program. Not just being responsible, not just staying clean, not just being clean, and it's so much more. It goes way back down deep inside where her daughters felt safe and loved. And this house that I was in made me feel that way, made me feel safe and loved, made me feel like there is hope.
Were there specific areas that you really wanted to help Tina on?
I really wanted to help Tina with budgeting the money to last the whole month, and so that she could provide, you know, nutritious meals for her children, and maybe have a little bit extra for something special for the girls or for her.
That was really, really hard for me. I just would watch Barbara, and we would go shopping at the store, and I wanted everything. But she would just get one or two things, you know, because she just knew that she had to budget her money, and I learned so much from that. Now I have money all the time, you know, in my purse, at least a few dollars. You know, every day I have some money instead of never having nothing, you know. Food, the way she feeds her daughters. She cooks for them 3-course meals. I learned that. I used to give my daughters McDonald's all the time, you know, fast food stuff all the time. I was never really hungry because I was always on drugs. Methamphetamines every single day, all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, and like her daughters, I noticed that it has a lot to do with the way she raises her daughters. Her daughters, Caitlin and Emma, when they eat, they eat a three-course meal and they like eat just a little portion of each, you know, because that's what they're used to. They know that they're going to get their next meal. Whereas my daughters, they would eat everything on the plate and they would want some more and some more and some more because they weren't sure when their next meal was going to come. So it goes like way beyond just helping somebody with, you know, staying clean. It goes way beyond that. It has a lot to do with what's inside of children, you know, and how they feel and how I felt about that when I noticed that, you know, her children eat a lot different than my children.
So,
you know,
coming into this safe home was uh-huh. really like going to another planet for you.
It was, yes, it was. The quietness of it, the cleanliness of it, you know, gosh, it's so clean. Her house is always so spotless. And you know what? It kept me trying to keep my space spotless, you know, like the bathroom. And it was just, I learned a lot. Bye, girls. Please be good, okay?
Okay, Mom.
The meshing and mutual learning occurred not just between the two moms. At times, the household expanded to include cute dogs Barbara couldn't resist bringing home from work, not to mention five high-energy children.
Shaden, 9, and Dimonena, 7, they lived with my sister, and Mary Catherine, who's 2, she lived with me. Barbara had 2 daughters, Emma and Caitlin, 9 and 5. So every other weekend, my daughters would come and visit. And, you know, on the weekends that she had her daughters here, they would play together. We would take them different places, you know.
So a lot of squealing and squeaking and giggling.
Wow, it was great. Swimming in the backyard, jumping on the trampoline. We did some fun stuff, really fun stuff.
So you were not only in a new setting, but you were reconnecting with your youngest child.
Yes, bonding with her.
What was that like?
I needed that. I needed that because when I got her back, she really was attached to her foster parents. And I got her back, and the time that I had here day after day, just bonding with her, she's so close to me now. It's like she was never even away from me. And that was really important for me. I needed that with her because I was afraid she wasn't going to feel like I was her mom, you know.
Do you think there was something about this supportive environment that made that easier?
Yes, it helped. Just having the time with her, the dogs that were around, just talking to her about anything, talking about dogs, you know, watching TV with her, you know, stuff like that. I never watched TV with my daughters, my older ones, never. You know, when I did drugs, I just did drugs in another room, and they were always watching TV by themselves. I never sat and watched TV with them. I never took them out in the backyard, like Barbara's backyard, sat out there and wrote in my journal. I never did that before. And sat out there with my baby and played in the pool with her. I didn't do that with my kids. Barbara, she cooked with her daughters. Her daughters would help her. My daughters, I didn't cook for one, and if I did, I didn't want them to help me. I wanted them out of my way because I was frustrated about my life, about stuff that's going on, you know? Things that I was thinking about wasn't focused on food. I just wanted to hurry up and make them something, and they want to help me bake, and I didn't have the patience or didn't even want it. And Barbara taught me that that's really important to do that with your children, to take the time to sit there and do their homework and read it patiently, you know, and she just has so much love. She showed me that you can't just be a mom to be a mom. You have to want to be a mom, and you have to learn to be a mom. There's so much to learn, you know, about being a normal person, because when you're high for so long, it's like you don't know what it's like to be normal. It takes a long time to, you know, to feel like, okay, a real person, you know. I felt like I was just a unit for so long. You know, and just seeing my daughters really happy when they'd come over here and being able to see me every other weekend was so great. I was like overwhelmed with the feeling of wanting to be their mom so bad and wanting to be a really good one, just like her.
So when you were here, a lot of what you were doing was just observing. You were watching the way things went down. You were watching how Barbara interacted with her kids. Were you conscious of the fact that you were really here to pay attention to that?
Yeah. You know, one thing that really stuck to me was the way that she spoke to her daughters when she was upset with them. She would tell them to quiet down if they were, like, in the bathtub taking a bath. And she would say, quiet down now. And then she'd go in the bathroom and say, okay, I've had just about enough. And she would talk with just the right words. Whereas me, I would say, I'm going to, you know, and I would cuss and scream and shout. And those words that she chose to say to her daughters stayed with me. They stayed with me. And sometimes when I get upset with my daughters, I use the same words instead of the ugly, mean words that I used to say.
Well, Tina was kind of watching your moves, I get the feeling, your words and your moves.
She really followed what I did, and I didn't even realize she was watching as closely as she was.
Barbara Funderburk.
Were you consciously trying to be a good role model?
Impressive. Well, you know, I got to be honest, I held my tongue a few times. She spoke earlier about how I would speak with my children and not use harsh words. And sometimes I would hold back. Maybe I felt like screaming at the children, but I realized that I am a role model to Tina, and it made me, think twice about what I was saying.
So you're trying to be on your best behavior, and she's trying to be on her best behavior.
Yeah, sometimes and then other times I would break and snap, and then she would see how I recovered with my children and, made it right.
And what for you is recovering in a situation like that?
I would explain to my daughters how, I'm sorry mommy yelled at you, but you make me feel very frustrated when, you continue to scream and splash water out of the bathtub after I've asked you 3 times not to. And you kind of just backpedal. So your children understand where your emotions are coming from. You're not angry with them.
Recovering. For people who have battled substance abuse like Tina Cruz, it's often considered a lifelong journey, a succession of everyday challenges that can temporarily knock you off center, followed by positive steps that allow you to regain equilibrium.
Whenever I feel kind of stressed, I go to a meeting. I need meetings. Meetings are important for me.
12-step fellowship.
Yes, I need them. When I don't go, like for a week, I can feel it coming on. I can feel the anxiety or something. I guess it's always going to stay with me. And it gets scary. So I go to a meeting. Sometimes I go to 2 meetings in one day, one right after another just to...
Because you find that to be a really good support system.
Yeah. And church has helped me. I found a church right away when I went to San Jose, and I started going there.
Just to see Tina now is a joy, just to hear her talk.
Michael Greer is a social worker at Families First who has handled Tina's case.
It brings tears to your eyes to know that this program have really helped people that was really in need. We've had people coming to this program with no place to go, no family support, no support. We have people that come into the program, no relatives anywhere. And we are the only lifeline there for them. And they've developed into good people. Like Tina said, most people are good people. They just need a little help and a little direction. And this program has given many that direction.
As Tina's 6 months with her mentor drew to a close, the outline of a new life, clean and sober, began to take shape.
I went out and I seen this apartment down the street from my sister's, and I just said, I'm going to think about that. And I never, ever thought about getting an apartment, like, legally. I usually would just, do it all wrong. anyways, this way. So my sister, you know, said, well, let's call up the lady, and I did. And she was really nice, and I told her my situation and everything, and she said, you know what, I'm going to give you a chance because I really feel that you really want to try to be a good mom, and so I wanted to try.
Now, when you arrived here, you told me, you know, the most important concern for you was a safe setting.
Yeah.
When you left almost 6 months later, were you afraid that you would be leaving the safety of this harbor?
Actually, I wasn't afraid. I wanted this so bad. I was ready to do what I have to do to take care of my kids. Even though I was a single parent raising three daughters, I thought, oh God, you know, this is going to be just the hardest thing in the world. But she does it every day, all day long, 24/7 she does it. So I knew that I could do it, and I wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. And she'd always tell me, Tina, you can do it. You can do it. Don't worry about it. You can do it, you know.
To support her family at her new home, Tina got a job at Burger King, where many of the patrons were college students. She began imagining herself as a student, aiming for a better life. The transformation has been satisfying for her mentor, Barbara.
Just really spending time with Tina, she's taught me a lot about being a good person and open and loving life and second chances. I've enjoyed watching her daughters reunite with their mom. That's brought me a lot of joy. And seeing her go out on her own and make it. That's phenomenal. I love to get a phone call from her hearing that she's doing great. That makes it all worthwhile.
Did a real friendship blossom out of this?
Yes, absolutely. She's a great woman. We're very open, you know, we talk about men and women and our children and our frustrations and just, you know, girl chat. And I trust her and she trusts me and we can say really anything to each other.
Barbara Funderburk of Antioch, California, and Tina Cruz, now of San Jose, participants in shared family care. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. Studio recording by Steve Colby. Editorial assistance from Thomas Royal. Special thanks to Amy Price of the University of California, Berkeley, School of Social Welfare. Our program is presented by Human Media in association with The Network Incorporated. Program development and support provided by Chart Media. This segment, Second Chances, about shared family care, is Humankind program number 81. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a review at Apple Podcasts or another podcast service. It goes a long way in helping people find the Humankind series. If you'd like additional content not available on our podcast, you can head over to our Patreon page, where we release monthly episodes. Our focus is solutions, not just problems. You'll also hear some staff picks from our archive, including conversations with people like a young Joe Biden, Ken Burns, and Mr. Rogers. Finally, if you'd like to support this podcast, please go to humankindpodcast.org and choose how you can help at the top of our homepage. That's humankindpodcast.org. Thanks.